Well, hello and... Oh, we're doing that thing where I can't look you in the eye when I'm doing the intro.
I just look at the screen.
I go all coy. Well, hello and welcome to what is the 77th episode of the Adoption and Fostering Roundup and our annual end of the year...
Roundup thing, my Bob.
Doodah.
Doodah.
What's it? With me, Al Coates.
And me, Scott Casson-Rennie.
Oh, well done. You didn't do your silly voice.
No, I didn't.
Well, we thought, I mean...
We're in the same room again.
Again, yeah, with Santa.
Yeah,
a picture of Santa.
A rather weird statue.
Life size.
Yes. Well, I don't know. He's quite short of his life size.
He's about 5 foot.
Yeah.
5 foot.
Yeah.
Maybe 4'8". Yeah. Which means he would be registered disabled.
Yeah, well, you know.
On a ground height alone. Anyway. Yeah. Well, maybe we could. I'm going to take a photograph of
him.
Yeah,
we need to have a selfie with Santa.
Selfie with Santa, and we'll put that out with the pot. We'll maybe use that as the end of year roundup. Oh, we're in the long grass before we even started.
What's new?
So we're doing an end of year roundup, and I thought there's some interesting news, and some of that news reflects like a holistic whole of the year. And there's a news article item that's been trickling along for I've known about it for a few months. I'm trying to think why, in relation to discrimination for adopters. And then even just today, which is the whatever the 9th of December, there's been a Twitter bun fight.
Yes, and again. I don't know who started it.
I didn't start it. I am just picking up on someone else's tweet, and I just maybe retweeted that.
Maybe.
Yeah, but even as we speak, my Twitter's
pinging and ponging and
farting.
Twitting and twatting. Oh, sorry. Whoops. Oh, well, never mind. There's that explicit rail.
Yeah, there we go. It had to come eventually. But it's Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, hey, man. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. So, the adoption stats have gone down. Well, actually, shall I ask you about how your year's been? Or shall we go into the adoption stats? Which one do you want to do?
Ooh. Well, I think you'd probably ask how both our years have been, actually. Because we don't talk about ourselves in any great depth very often.
For legal reasons.
We sometimes talk about some things that have happened and stuff, but actually, when you think back on the last 12 months...
It's been a very busy year.
It has, and it's been lots of changes in the year as well, for both of us.
Some planned, some not changed.
Yeah,
some not
and
planned.
Some have just happened, and some have come out of the blue, and some have been planned. And
some have been brewing.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know,
and unplanned.
And I think I've moved to a different country.
So how is that move going? Because I keep thinking, and we often have this conversation about how it's such a massive change.
Mm.
But also, I think that... talking to you, it's really interesting, the cultural stuff that, especially around adoption, because it's been such a big part of your life, and now you're in a different country. How's adoption seen in Ireland? What's going on there?
Very different.
Southern Ireland, or no, just Ireland?
Republic of Ireland.
Republic of Ireland. Oh, yes. Crikey.
Yeah,
there goes my listenership gone down.
Well, it's interesting because the education conference podcast we did, I did get a message from someone who lived in Ireland who listens to public podcast, but they're not a parent of a Sen child,
right?
And they took a little bit of offence of what I said about the Irish education system. So, but when I challenged, I said, "Well, what kind of perspective? Get my words out. Are you looking at it from?" I said, "Are you looking at it from a Sen perspective?" And he went, "No." Okay, I get it now. So,
yeah,
but I'm still kind of trying to get to the bottom of what adoption looks like in Ireland, because it is still very different from here. I mean, I'm long-term foster care and kind of within the family and stuff, that's kind of the priority. And of course, there's a lot of big families over there as well, you know, so we're looking at maybe more than two children in each family. Not always, but, you know, families are bigger for obvious reasons, you know.
Which is that what the Catholic Catholicism?
I mean, this is just my opinion. This doesn't mean to say that this is written anywhere, but, you know, yes, I think it's that. And also, you have to think about that.
Yeah.
So the religion side, and also the kind of you're really drawing me onto the coals of this one. I feel
I've not.
So if you think
word.
About, well, abortion laws changed very recently as well.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. But that influences adoption.
Well,
isn't
I think
it?
So. I think so. No, I'm not saying that everybody would have had the adoption would have done that. I'm not saying that, but yeah, I think that makes a little bit of a difference as well. So adoption is it's not rare. It does happen. I believe that there's still a number of relinquished kind of adoptions that happen, but equally even accessing your files over there It's impossible. You cannot do it.
So it's just a
there's some big legal thing.
Full stop over.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's a kind of historical thing where mothers, birth mothers had to sign away the rights to be able to contact a child, even at the age of 18. And, you know, so there's a lot of different layers to
hugely
it
than
what we're used to. The one thing I will say, though, is access to services for us. I mean, in 9 months that we've lived there, we've just literally got the last kind of thing for our little Jacob sorted in terms of services he can access. So, you know, we've got CAMHS, his medication sorted, dental, you know, all these sorts of things are all sorted. But they're sorted. We don't have to fight for them anymore.
Oh, you're not fighting to get sorted. You've kind of, you've started the process, been through it and
come
to the end.
And come to the end. School, education, I wouldn't say it's a big issue, but it has been an issue, if that makes sense. So we're fixing that, because there's not the same amount of funding, and funding for education works very differently in terms of extra support and stuff like that. So it's all very kind of different in that respect. However, the education kind of setup suits him better, because it's a little bit more kind of the 1980s UK system. So
is that a bit looser, a bit less measured, a bit less?
Lessons are shorter, you know, kind of a little bit, I wouldn't say more relaxed in the classroom, but certainly, you know, they're kind of more sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? I'd say the teachers are a little bit less kind of...
Are they under less pressure?
I think so. I think they're still under pressure. I really do.
Yeah.
But there's the other side of that where, you know, a no shouting policy would be, you know, they would laugh at you.
What?
You know, so there's stuff like that to overcome. But I feel like, you know, we've got an ear, but it's just about making that change and showing them how it can be done. You know, we spoke to Nicky Murray last week, didn't we? The head teacher from Burnside and Carnoustie, and he was saying about how you can make little changes without it costing anything.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we've got to prove. So there's still things
it's
that we
fertile ground
yeah,
for improvement.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah. So yeah, and then the other stuff, you know, the wedding, the big,
no,
you know,
yes,
that was only this year.
You're making a go of
like,
you interest.
Yeah, well, we thought after 20 odd years we should.
Yeah, certainly, that was good.
And you know, 21-year-old's moved back in, or moved. He's moved country actually to live with us, so you know that's a big thing for him, massive thing for us as well, having him back after 2 years.
Well, you'd sort of, I know that you'd planned, which I think reflects a certain cohort of the adoption community, you kind of had planned post 18 life or your children, you not that you'd look to shoo your children out of the house at 18, but then there was this, your anticipation of how life would look is not necessarily how it's looking
exactly.
And he's a lovely guy, but there remains shadows, doesn't there, from early life experience.
Exactly, yeah. And I think, you know, when we were looking at when we looked for the house that we've got at the minute that isn't ours, we were very conscious of that. So, you know, that's why it's a 5-bedroom house. Well, everybody was saying, there's only 3 of you, why do you need 5 bedrooms? Ah, well, let me tell you. And look what's happening.
Expected.
Exactly. But, you know, I think that's just one of the things, you know, you reach that age of 18, you think, right, our job is done. No, not quite yet. And it's just a kind of your obligation changes a little bit.
Well, that really reflects on us, because we moved, because obviously it's a lot of us. There's 9 of us in the household, or there was 9 at our peak Coates household. Mm-hmm. And we downsized, thinking that once a couple had moved on. Mm. And then
they all came
by magic, they came back and brought a baby.
Or two.
I'm not sure. And then we really struggled to find space for all of us when, like, at Christmas and stuff.
Yeah.
So we're all doubling up, topping and tailing, and all that kind of thing.
Good old traditional kind of family, like, Christmas.
It's like, was it Willy Wonka's, where all the grandparents are in bed together, all the 4 of them. It's a bit
that's
like that.
Just put something in my head I didn't really want to see, but anyway.
Let's roll back from that conversation. But like you, we've had a really interesting year, involvement in services, not in an expected way.
Yeah. Fun.
I don't really know what to say.
No, I wouldn't say anymore. Just leave that one there.
Yeah. And the ongoing involvement, which is really interesting. Yeah. So we've, you know, and again, just that experience of working from the other side of the table as a family. And, you know, so as a family who's not necessarily asked if they want to be involved in service. Yeah. And that brings you a whole different perspective on my own children's biological family's story. Mm-hmm. You see how things are written in forms about yourself.
Yeah.
So hugely significant year for us. And glad to see the back of it, to be honest with you.
I think from my perspective, it's been a reasonably good year. There's been a number of changes that I would have preferred not to have
big
had.
Big changes.
Yeah, rather large changes.
You've had massive changes.
Yeah, but I'm just focusing on, you say it every year, don't you? Oh, well, hopefully next year will be better.
Well.
But, you know, I know there's exciting things happening in 2020 for me, and for you, actually.
Yes,
so,
there is. Yeah.
So it's like when January comes, it is a new year. Yes, you take all the, you drag all your belongings behind you, but you think, oh, it's exciting. It's a new year. Yeah.
It is a new year.
Exactly. So yeah.
I'm optimistic for a new year. I'm just trying to get a picture of selfie with Santa.
Should I move Santa?
Yeah.
If only you could see, dear listeners, but you can't.
Excellent.
And then we made a selfie with Santa. I'm a bit worried about Santa's legs. He's very skinny on the legs.
Apparently he's been drinking. Yeah, there you go.
It's not even 5 o'clock.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Right, there's been some interesting news recently. It was in it bounced up. And actually it was quite odd because it was just in a newspaper article, and sometimes the DfE published their reports and it wasn't in there. Didn't notice that. Didn't come through my DfE alert. The number of children leaving care through adoption fell by 7% in the last year. What do you make of that?
Well, I think it's quite interesting because I think it's been a tricky year, actually, in adoption terms. There's a couple of things. One, that B word.
Oh, Brexit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's had an impact on what's actually going on.
Never even thought of that.
Yeah. In any government department, actually, never mind the DfE. And I remember about 18 months ago, they stripped out the departments to build this new Brexit department, or whatever you want to call it. I don't know what they call it. I just remember there was a couple of at various levels at the DfE that were actually shipped out to go and do this.
Because the civil servants, they're interchangeable, aren't
exactly,
they?
Exactly, yeah. So I think that's had an impact, because actually we've probably lost people who have been, you know, have maybe
had influence.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
I think
that's probably something to do with it. I think that...
Do you think it's impacted that...
B-word.
Has impacted on people coming forward for to be approved?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting one, isn't it? I'm not sure. But I think that, obviously, local authorities and local authorities that have adoption agencies, whilst they've still got, you know, they've still got children. In fact, they've got more children being looked after now, haven't they?
By 4%, according to the stats.
Yeah, that has risen. But I think that they are also having to look at kind of what they're doing. So in terms of adoption support plans, you know, if there's any kind of extra
money
dosh, then is it going to go into that, or is it going to be, you know, put aside for, and we know that children's services are all underfunded, let's face it, you know, and have been for
I read somewhere last week 50% less funding in local authorities since 2008. That I want to get political, that's just a fact.
No, but that is probably a fact. So there's that, and then I guess the other thing I'm thinking around this might be something to do with the fact that the last couple of years we've obviously seen the DfE's.
Are we about to go somewhere?
No. I'm just saying this is my, you know, this is my opinion, and I'm just, you know.
Well, it's interesting because you've cast off the shackles of being a member of
an organisation that may not be.
Speak plainly.
Exactly.
No one's listening.
Yeah. There's three people. Your mother, my husband.
And Santa.
But I do wonder what impact the kind of RAA Regional Adoption Agency development has had on us. Because agencies are still recruiting, they're still placing, they're still supporting, but there has been, you know, for some agencies, there has been a lull in terms of some of the stuff that they've been doing. So, you know, I've been at many meetings where we've talked about recruitment, and the back of the buses and, you know, the flagpoles and all this sort of stuff. And you're just like, no, it's not about... and I'm not going to go over what I usually do about saying about, you know, if you sort the back end and the front end will start working. It's like a pantomime horse, isn't it? You know? You kind of, if you sort the back end out, then the front end will start to work. It'll and that's the logic. So, I mean, I'd love to say I know why. I think there's many factors, actually.
What I thought was really interesting was, and this is me being maybe being an arse, but I thought that what was interesting reading, I only found a couple of newspaper articles about it. What was interesting was that it was universally accepted that adoption is a good thing.
Right.
There was no questioning of adoption.
Mm-hmm.
And that's set in the context of the, did you see the Tory manifesto that said that we will look to, looked after, children will be looked after, and we'll find permanent homes for them. If not adoption, you know, adoption first, because that's an ideology, isn't it, about adoption.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no questioning in the article I read, or a couple of articles that I read, in relation to whether adoption is an appropriate thing. It's still seen as the gold standard, which it's not. It's the right thing for the right kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it was, now this is where I'm going to draw you, really draw you onto the coals.
Thanks.
Right, so it was... Adoption UK were asked, and then Corum were asked, and then someone else who I forget was asked. But they were... what I felt was that there was no doubt, no level of analysis about actually what is going on, or no questioning the bigger issues that are perhaps around people who are questioning whether adoption is the right thing for children. Do you not think... If you were to, a prospective adopter and you went onto Twitter today, or social, or Facebook, or...
I think it would scare me, actually. I wouldn't...
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't want to do it.
But you'd have different questions to the ones we had when I was... Even 2 years ago, you'd have gone on and gone, oh, there's a nice community of adoptive parents who would universally say, blooming hard, but go for it.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of people who... A lot of voices have slid away. Mm. People are not getting involved. So... I really don't want to draw you into the coals, but I'm going to... What I found frustration was, it was Adoption UK saying, oh, this is because of, you know, the fertility treatments got better, which it has, so people less people are infertile.
Mm-hmm.
The Pink News were saying, oh, well, this is great news because actually there's one in every seven adoptions is a same-sex couple adoption, which in some ways, to my mind, is relevant.
Mm-hmm.
It may be more relevant to you, but it's...
I mean, it's nice to see the numbers go up in that, obviously, because, you know, only a couple of years ago it was 1 in 10, so that's great that it's 1 in 7. But I don't think sexuality should really have much to do with it, you know.
But then does that not then focus that it's all about adults again?
And is that not then going to go, you know, in 10 years' time, 5 years' time, whatever, oh, well, you know, the only people who can adopt are the ones that, like, physically can't have children, you know, rather than, you know, those that are infertile. Yes, and maybe infertility treatments have got better over the years, but actually there is still a cohort of people that want to adopt a child.
They're never going to be that good for you and Tris. Infertility treatment, it's never going to be that good, I'm pretty sure.
Because it's physically impossible.
It's just not going to happen, is it?
Yeah.
But there's
and to be fair, I'm too knackered to have any more.
You look very tired. But there's some people who don't want... It's maybe they've had two biological children and they want to adopt.
Exactly.
And there's a whole raft of reasons, isn't there?
Yeah.
I just felt it was really... I was just disappointed by the reporting of it, I think.
Yeah, I think I'd agree, probably. And I think that... You know, it's the general message seems to be to kind of spin it so that it's more positive, so that it recruits more. And I don't think that at the end of the day, the whole system. So adoption is good for, like you say, a certain cohort of children.
Okay, yeah.
But actually, the whole system needs to be looked at, because actually none of it is working at the minute.
Scott,
what?
I can't believe you
said
that.
But it's not. I don't think it is.
I mean, I've asked lots of really difficult questions about adoption.
So when we've got an increase, I just whacked the microphone. When we've got an increase of 4%,
I think we got away with it, apart from you mentioned it. I think we would have
increase of 4% and looked after children. So, you know, there's an increase. Do you know what I mean? It's like that should be going down, because actually the government, local authorities should be doing something to get that number down, so that they're actually supporting families to be able to remedy whatever the issues are within the family home, to be able to then have the children remain with them.
That is a beautiful segue into my next piece, the Pact Charity tweet.
Oh.
That says there is... which is, I think, it caused a whole frisson of arguments. So your argument there is that we should be reducing... The Pact charity tweet says there is around £1 million of social and economic impact from every couple adoption. Every couple approved for adoption. So even couple, that's wrong. So every adult approved for adoption.
I was going to say, what about single people?
Yeah, what about single people? Yeah. So actually we're saying that it's to adopt a child saves £1 million.
Yeah.
Surely we should be putting it in early help.
Exactly. Is that not just common sense?
This is the maddest tweet. The more I think about this tweet, the madder it seems.
I mean, don't get me wrong, knowing the guys at Pact, which I do, it's probably not
so
meant.
Well,
no, it probably wasn't meant to come out that way, but it did.
Really did.
I don't think the strapline should have been adoption saves money, because I think that's quite insulting. And also, where's my £1 million? Sorry, £3 million.
Yeah.
Because I've had three children. So that's kind of where, it's kind of, and there's also, I mean, I don't know too much about it because I've not spent a lot of time on Twitter today. I know you have because you tweeted about it.
I know
it
in my room.
But there's the other side of this as well. This is for children who've been adopted or young people who've been adopted, it's not the message that we want them to think, that actually they were adopted to save money.
But maybe that is the truth for some.
Well,
if you're a bean counter in a local authority,
yeah.
Is mm-hmm. that what you're thinking?
Yeah.
Because that is the reality.
Yeah.
It saves money.
Well, of course it does. Yeah.
My mate, Carlo Duke, and I know him in real life, he's a real functioning person, said, when he saw this tweet, he said, really? Wow, so I can get back the rent arrears, the therapy bills, the gambling and drug debts I've paid off. Sound.
Yeah.
And you go, yeah, that tweet is shocking. Because the other thing is that that tweet sort of says, so why not pay it forward and leave packed money in your will?
Yeah.
Details on our website. And you go, oh, that's deeply insensitive.
It is, because actually they're trying to do two things with one image. And they've been solved.
I can imagine the 9 o'clock on a Monday morning, someone comes and goes, right,
yeah,
form an orderly queue.
Yeah.
There's a P45s.
Flip flops to whack each other with.
But I think
misjudged tweet, I would say.
Misjudged, but actually reveals something. I think it reveals that the truth is that there was something doing the rounds recently from the Open Nest about the government, a government statement saying adoption saves money. We need to boost the numbers. So maybe we're all being suckered in. Are we being, maybe this is the end of our career at the DFA. Ah, well, what a way to go.
What career?
Exactly. But people are savvy to that.
Yeah. And I'm just trying to think, there was another question asked about it as well, but I can't remember.
I was sort of looking through my Twitter feed, and there's a couple being approved at the weekend, announced it at the weekend, a couple of people really happy, really excited.
Yeah.
And you go, do you know what you're letting yourself in
I know,
for?
And also it seems, I mean, I get people are chuffed about it, but on social media especially, I kind of worries me just how many people are very public about this kind of thing these days.
Which kind of thing?
Well, being like, oh, we've been approved, and is that's
yeah,
what,
yeah,
yeah. But actually, we can, almost find their address. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's been a couple over the last couple of weeks that I've just gone, okay, really delighted for you. Well done.
But.
You know, I know what panel you've been to, because you've said in your tweet.
Really?
I know your location. I can see your faces, and then there's kind of still a few people kind of tweeting faces and things like that. And I know that a lot of us have learned, if we ever did it, not to do that without our children's permission, and that even then,
it's questionable permission.
We're not going to get them to sign something, are we? It's just, I don't know. Maybe I've just become this grumpy old man. I don't know.
Well, not maybe become. I think that we've got to ask questions. We've got to be savvy. Yeah. But I think that the internet is an area where our understanding and knowledge of the internet and how it works, and our thinking through the process of what that looks like in not just 6 months, but in 6 years, it's kind of really short-term thinking. So when I started my Twitter account in 2009, which seems like 5 minutes
ago. I think
it
was 2008 or something like that.
Yeah, I didn't think that I would still be doing this in 10 years' time.
No.
And I looked back at my blogs and I didn't think I'd be doing this in whatever many years' time. So there's some of the stuff we've got on there about our children, our families, not really thinking through the fact that in 20 years' time, if my kids can go and find that and go, he said, what about me?
Yeah.
Not that I said anything.
No. But even that, you know, you kind of, I mean,
But I did get questioned by a couple of very stern professionals about the content of one of my things.
Oh, really?
I did, yeah. And then, so this was interesting. Yeah. So I said to them, have you watched it? And they went, no. And I went, so is that not hearsay? Have you... And it wasn't. It was not like I'm expecting them to listen to an hour and a half of a podcast where I say something in the middle. It was really short, like a Facebook Live or something.
Right. Okay.
And there was a really brief comment.
Yeah.
About something, not someone, about something.
Yeah.
And it got kind of back to them, and they got and it was really shitty. And I said, I took it down because I'm, you know, I've got who cares. But I just think actually that's. It's got the potential to be taken the wrong way and put the wrong way. And even though that, you know, and even if you offend someone, you offend someone. If you've offended them, they're upset.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't we be upsetting people? Yeah. Having said that, some people are looking for offence.
Fight.
Yeah, looking for a fight. Looking for... you see, your mind went straight to fight. Exactly, straight to fight. Yeah. Looking for a fight. Mm. Hey-ho, and speaking of looking for a fight...
Yeah, I was just going to say that. We're segueing well.
Hell's teeth, we're on fire today.
We are on fire. Yeah.
So come on then, you tell me about this one. You've
Well, I mean, this has been going for a little while, hasn't it?
And it's been trickling along.
Well, it will have been, because I can't even remember when this happened. But anyway, there's a couple from Maidenhead in Berkshire who were turned down to be even assessed.
They were stopped at the front door, weren't they?
And it's been found that that was based on the grounds of race, which is discrimination.
But you told, can you tell me that story?
Well, this is the thing, because I mean, when we were reading through the thing, when we were reading through it and it said that their case was backed by the Equality and Human Rights Commission, I was thinking, okay, so when Tris and I first looked into adoption, 12 months after the law changed when same-sex couples could adopt. And I remember we went to a certain local authority, mustn't name them, because who knows, I may have some grounds.
Well, you never know. statute of limitations.
And in actual fact, we were kind of given the same thing. We were turned down for assessment based on the fact that they wouldn't have had any children for a same-sex couple. Now, at the time, bearing in mind,
what
this is...
What sort of children do you need for same-sex couple?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I really don't
Let's
know.
Let's unpack that.
Yeah. But at the time, if you've... You know, I mean, I don't know this couple, and I don't know the background, obviously. But at the time, same-sex couples coming into adoption were fairly new. Adoption was fairly new to even, you know, for same-sex...
It was uncharted territory for them.
Exactly. So, you know, who do you complain? You know, not necessarily complain to, but who can you go?
What's
and
the
ask
next step?
Yeah, exactly.
But there's a power
there was
dynamic.
No social media.
Well, isn't there?
There was no, you know, we just talked about Twitter being an educator really for adoption, for everything really. Let's face it, you know, if you want to know something, you go on Twitter, don't you?
For sure.
Excuse me. But we didn't have that back then. So I guess I'm kind of going, oh, that's interesting, because actually, had we probably had a little bit more confidence, we may have challenged that. You know, a little bit more.
But that takes some guts, doesn't it? Because
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think this couple have gone on to adopt from elsewhere, anyway, internationally, which is what they're told to do or suggested they do. But the power dynamic is and I think that's what's really interesting for me as a social worker in my head. Any work you do with people is that if they are rude to me, I have the potential to scupper their assessment.
Yeah.
So there's a compliance. Mm-hmm. So the guts to go, this isn't right. Make it right.
Yeah.
This is against the law. We're going to take you to court. Da 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 da. That's some real guts, isn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Because word gets around. If you make yourself a high profile case, every local authority will go, oh, crap sticks.
Well, exactly.
Look who's coming up the path. Turn the lights off.
Yeah. But also, I mean, we don't know the background to this couple either. You know, they could be, you know, I don't know. Like,
well,
there could be a lawyer who's maybe looked into it or something. You know, you just don't know, do you?
So
they may well, they may well have had that confidence. But I think that, you know, there's kind of something as well here. You mentioned this actually. Nobody is entitled to have a child in this world. So, you know,
Yeah.
But that's true, isn't it? I'm not entitled. No, no. You're not entitled. And
it's not a human right.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is what the judge said.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I just feel... Well, I don't know.
But see, to my mind, I saw them on the news this morning, and then there was a statement read from the local authority, and they said, we are naturally disappointed by this, and we're looking into it. And I thought, but doesn't... There's a lot to unpick. One is around race, because they're saying they couldn't pick a child. They couldn't guarantee they could give a child, and we only place children as a racial match. Mm. So that's one question, because there's just such a lack of information about that. The second thing I'm thinking is... but that's not just... That's anybody. So I know that people come to me as a fostering social worker and say, I'd like to foster. And I go, all right, well, what are you interested in? They go, oh, I want to do 16-year-old boys, because that suits my family. I go, well, I can't guarantee I'll get you it.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I have to have that realistic conversation about what they want, what I think is realistic. And I would say, well, in that case, you know, for this couple, you might say... Another conversation would have been said... Right, okay, this is our policy, and so in that case, you'd maybe have quite a long wait.
Yeah.
And they'd have gone, oh, fair enough, or not.
Yeah.
But does the local authority have a right to kind of knock people back if they don't?
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, I remember when I was involved with another local authority a couple of years after we'd adopted. I definitely can't name. But I always remember them saying, well, our priority is this kind of... family makeup. So, you know, whether it was white or whether it was, you know, it wasn't white actually, but...
Is it to suit the children that they've got?
Exactly. And that's kind of one of the things, isn't it? So, I'm trying to think now, because it seems it's so long ago and it also seems really old-fashioned, but that was the way it was working at the time. So they had to find families for these children. So they were doing a specific recruitment drive for these specific children.
Which is what Adoption Week was, wasn't it? Specifically around black and ethnic minority children.
And I think, you know, that might change with the kind of one of the upsides of the RAs would be, you know, this kind of wider pool of potential prospective adopters. But in, you know, you can't just close the door on anybody. You can't do that. You have to give them the opportunity to be assessed, and race and sexuality and age and whether they're married or single or, you know, whatever. Yeah. That I mean, those are the kind of top things that I'm always thinking about these days when people ask me questions, you know. And
well, they come to you and say, I want to adopt. Yeah,
what would you suggest I do next, kind of thing. So I guess from that perspective, it's definitely naughty.
Yeah.
But then we don't know. I mean, this is the results of a court case as well. So is this 3 years ago? Is it 4 years ago? Is it five?
Well, the results are today. So it could have been 3 years ago that they walked to the door.
And also, you know, I think it's worthwhile saying as well that it mentions the RAA that's involved in it, but actually it may not have been the RAA that did it. So
they're picking up someone else's. Yeah,
exactly. So, you know, it's not a very good... I mean, I have to say...
it's a mess.
Yeah, it is a mess, actually. It's a mess of a report.
As I'm thinking as well, the legislation was changed so that in 2015 you're not to use race as a reason to prohibit a match.
Yeah.
Which I think is... I don't agree that you shouldn't take it off, but it was taken off by Gove.
Right, yeah. I'm
not going to name names, but it was Gove. Yeah. 2015. Mm-hmm. And he took off that when matching. That was one of the named criteria. Yeah. It was removed.
Yeah.
But again, we don't know how many children are white children are not placed with people of colour or children of colour placed with what people are white.
Right, exactly.
We don't know.
No.
So it feels like there's... I mean, increasingly it feels like a niche issue when we're talking about 3,500 children and there's like nearly 80,000 children in the care system.
Exactly.
And that's a fluid number. I don't know, I just think that... I do wonder, but I mean, there's a lot of children who are adopted, there's a lot of adults that are impacted by adoption, but I just wonder whether, what is the future?
I know, I keep asking myself that. I do keep asking myself that, but I mean, you know, when I now speak to my adult children about things related to adoption, and in actual fact, one of my friends said, why don't you have your eldest on the podcast? And I said, because he would talk.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't do him any good because actually he wouldn't be able to be himself. And when I'm talking about himself, I'm talking about his true self, not the self that, you know, there's a nice
the front, persona.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's becoming more and more obvious to me as I get older, because, you know, yes, I love him very, very much. He says he loves me, but does he? We don't know, you know. And I'm not saying that he doesn't. I'm just saying that, you know, after...
Are you not overthinking that?
Probably, yeah.
Right, because I think
that... But I'm being made to overthink it, because I'm being made... I'm not being made to listen, but I'm listening to voices. The voices in my head. But I'm listening to all these voices and all these different experiences, and I'm wondering out loud.
It's making
with this
you second-guess yourself.
Yeah, it does.
I think that's really interesting, because I listen to a lot of adoptive... I'm maybe going to alienate several raft of people here, or maybe... Yeah, but I think I'm not discounting the adoption experience, which is like usually what people say just before they discount the adoption experience.
No offense, but
I see a shadow of what a lot of adopted people say about their parents in what normal people. So the act that did you show your true self to your parents at 21?
That's an interesting question, actually.
What would they have... If I'd have sat them down here and go, tell me about Scott, but of God, well, I think that we know Scott like this, but I think there's another Scott.
Yeah.
And it's
well,
kind of...
Well, definitely was at 17, 18.
Well, I've heard that rumour. But I think that's true for all of us. And even now, I think...
It was me that put my number on the back of the toilet door, nobody else. That is a joke.
I hope so. But as I get older, and probably like you, as I get older, I feel like I'm... more my true self to my parents than I've ever been. And that's a complicated thing as well, because even now, you know, my mum's... I don't think my mum listens, so I can speak plainly. My mum's nearly 80, and I get on better with her now than I've ever done. But at 20, that was complicated, you know, about how I felt, about who I was, about where she was, who she was. She was working out her own stuff as a and I think that is universally true for all parent-child relationships. I think for adoption adds in some really key challenges to that.
Mm-hmm.
And like you, I think that's, you know, I, talking to my son, it's just not on his radar.
No, yeah.
Or he says it's not.
And that's the thing. And is it or is it not? We don't know, you know. So it's a really, and I think your original question is there a future? I think there is. But again, it's change. The reasons for adoption have changed and very much into a different kind of thing. But actually, there's a lot more support and stuff like that than was 10 years ago, still got that old narrative going on about, oh, aren't you lucky? Oh, you know.
Yeah, same old.
Help the case. So in that respect... If we're just going to keep on plodding on with that same old narrative, then no, there's no future for it, because actually we're going to find ourselves in a lot of strife. If you were, as an example, to get a government, because I don't live in the UK.
You're my government.
I've washed my hands of you.
Yes.
But if you were to get a government actually that has a firm belief in... I was thinking where I'm going with this now, but you know, who says actually, do you know what, we're not going, no, adoption support, no, because actually adoption is about children being given up and, you know, all this sort of stuff.
So your kids get on with it.
Where are we going with that, you know?
Yeah,
if you think
then the £1 million
that thing. Percent the percent we've just been talked about is a lot, then, you know, let's see how much that drops then, you know, because there'll just be nothing done, will there? So
no, and I think that does put people off. I think that if you know, if to use a really crude analogy, but I'll go with it. Mm. If you were going to buy a car, and I said, hey, use that garage because they've got cracking after sales, you buy a car.
Yeah.
From there. Yeah. That's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
I do question, I think that we've got our feet firmly 75 years ago.
Yeah, totally agree.
The system is built on the relinquished child model, and there's still,
and,
like,
you know, the National Adoption Week, perhaps we should try and raise awareness about what adoption is rather than trying to do recruitment. No, I'm being serious. I don't have anything to lose by saying that, because actually, do you know what, if we were to get all of the agencies that have an involvement in National Adoption Week to club together, put a newspaper article, radio advert, do you know what I mean, to do all of that and really get the message out there, actually adoption isn't, you know, like this anymore, and actually make people sit up and listen, increase public awareness of what it is. And, you know, don't get me wrong, the packed one, if that's true, then let's, you know,
call it out for what it is.
Exactly.
But then that, so that to me, if you took that as a flyer and went to your local authority and said, apparently I'm saving you £1 million a year, and actually I've had to give up my job, and we're really struggling here.
Yeah.
So can I have a bit of that, please?
Yeah. And not to mention that we're on medication because, you know, all this,
the challenges of dealing with services and
exactly,
There
you go.
Pay it forward. You pay it forward.
Yeah. So there you go. Pay it forward. Next National Adoption Week.
Pay it. Oh, that's a great title.
Yeah.
Pay it forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want the children to have a slice of the pie.
Yeah. And we want awareness to be raised about the reasons for adoption.
Well, that was quite philosophical. So tell me what you're doing next year.
I'm going to be busy. That's all I'm saying.
I might be having a little world tour, mightn't we?
Yeah.
We're going to go to Thailand.
Yeah, we are.
Just you and me. Not just you and me.
Actually, that'll be really interesting, actually. Podcast tour.
Podcast tour of Thailand.
Effectively, last year this year, actually, we decided that we were going to do a two-family holiday, didn't we?
Oh, good grief.
La 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 la.
I am going to wear sandals and socks.
No, you're not.
I am.
No, you're not.
I totally am on the beach.
The good
Thailand.
Mrs. C has given me a little budget, so it will be proper socks. But yes.
That's awful.
Easter next year.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
You look like you are.
I feel tired already.
Yeah. So yeah, that'll be interesting. We're all going to Thailand, but we're just going for a holiday. We're not going to do the stuff that the husband does.
What,
the detox and stuff? We're not doing that.
No. Hot stones and, and yoga. None of that crazy stuff.
So, but we're also going to other places, from what I gather as well.
Yes, well, we've got hopes and aspirations, haven't we? To maybe do a little world tour.
We might mention that next year.
Yeah, we'd do a little. Well, it'd be nice to get out and see
some
people.
Keep it powder dry for now.
Yeah. I think that I think you being cast the shackles of your link to an organisation, Adoption UK, which is a membership organisation, and that was your job. So you, I think that you're always mindful, as much as I don't think it changed what you did or who you said, but mindful that's important. But I think now that you're, and I'm feeling a bit less, cautious. I think that actually let's stretch into new corners.
I think so.
The adopter voices, I think, have been fantastic. We've got a birth family voice coming up soon. Which is striking fear into my heart because it's really hard to listen.
Yeah.
But I always want the podcast to be a place where we can ask the questions that other people are uncomfortable to, which is why I picked up the adoption stats, because they just went and asked the standard voices.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what you think. And then they just accepted it.
Yeah.
But there's other voices.
There is. Yeah. And, you know, I think that, there are other voices, and there's other ideas out there as well.
Yeah, so, let's do it different ways. Let's push the boat out.
Yeah,
let's burn our bridges.
And let's have a rebrand.
Yes, we're going to have a rebrand, aren't we? You've been put in charge of the rebranding.
Because I've had nothing to do for the last couple of
been kicking your heels. So I'm excited because you've not actually shown me anything.
No, I'm dreading this, honestly.
So maybe we should try and get that.
Actually, I've just remembered you're colourblind anyway, so it's not going to make any difference.
But I still see colour.
Yeah, I know.
But no, you don't.
No, I know you do see colour, anyway.
Well, let's see what happens. And
and
maybe in the new year we can make that thing happen, that shizzle go down.
Yes, indeedy.
Excellent. Well, have a fantastic new year.
And you.
And I wish you all glad tidings for the year ahead.
Yes. Tatty bye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bon Jovi.
Yeah. Anchovy.
Excellent. I've trained you well. Well, there you go. The thing is, now I would normally pretend that I've turned it off, but you can see that it's turned on. You can plainly see that it's turned on.
Oh, yes, it is.
You can see it.
I can see the orange things. Does it have to be orange?
I don't know.
I have triggers with orange.
I think you've said enough.